This is Rackabix After Hours.
Oh, hi. Welcome to episode 112, because I only learnt how to say the word for 100 and how to count up to 12 in German. You've got Ben and Pete here, as always, and we're going to blag some things, because it's a slow news day, slow news week. But sometimes those are our best podcasts. Or we feel they are. We hope you do too. Did you know we're on the internet, on Facebook, Instagram, at Rackaddicts UK? Find us, please. Speak to us. Let us know that you are out there. But first, Pete, your week. Update me, please. What's been going on?
Apart from trying to not get blown away, because we've had two storms in the UK, or the southern part of the UK this week.
Eunice?
That was the first one.
And Roehampton. I've no idea.
No, I can't remember.
I've got the word Roehampton in my head. Franklin. Is it Franklin?
It sounds right. I think it began with an F. I can't remember. Mm. The first one was the dramatic one anyway.
Yes, quite. I saw, actually, I had, let me try and remember. Where was I? Who was I? I don't know. What day was it? It was Friday. I was home on Friday because the boss had said, don't go into the office. We're near a lot of trees and branches, cars. It's a bad time. So I was at home. I walked all the way to a neighbouring town to procure some sourdough because I didn't want to cycle and get blown into the river or something like that. And let me recount the adventures. Well, I bumped into a friend while I was there, but that wasn't so adventurous. On my way to said other town that holds the sourdough, there was just a boat floating down the river. A very large residential-type boat had loosed its moorings, so I called the police non-emergency number, and they were saying, yes, we know, we've heard. Can you tell us where it's got to? That was a laugh. On the way back along the same bit of river, I helped a chap reclaim his boat because it was only attached by one end and he needed an extra pair of arms to, you know, grab the rope and pull it back in and tie it on again. When I got back into the town, I saw two road signs get blown over and ripped up and all the bits happen. And my favourite bit of all, I saw a mother and her two daughters, 10 and 12-ish maybe, they were walking, I don't know, maybe 20 metres ahead of me, and the wind was at our backs. And I'm sure you've experienced it. There's a huge gust and you kind of almost jump forwards if you're staying upright. The little girls didn't stay upright. They face-planted in spectacular fashion, and it was one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. I have no sympathy for them at all. It was brilliant. So that was my Friday in the storm.
You cruel, cruel thing.
Yes, it was beautiful. Anyway, you survived the wind then.
I didn't take the general advice, which was don't travel, don't go anywhere. I had a need, and I had a need that meant that I had to be in central London. And the intention prior to the storm that morning when it started was that I would jump on the train, take that up to Waterloo, and onward to my destination. But unfortunately, the trains were all cancelled.
Must have been several leaves on the track.
Well, I think they were more worried about whole trees being on the track or
derailments.
Or worse, yes, certainly something quite horrible. And they also shut Waterloo Station completely.
Oh, interesting.
So I decided to drive. So I literally drove through the worst of the storm into London. So there was a certain amount of driving around fallen trees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
refuge and things blowing around. It wasn't too bad. There wasn't too much drama. I drove up to the Nine Elms development around Battersea Power Station on the South Bank. There's still a bit of building work, but it's pretty much there. It's almost like another city in London.
Really? I haven't been down there yet.
Parks sort of underneath Battersea Power Station. You can actually go around and they have big blocks of residential apartments that sort of envelop the site there.
Yeah.
And I parked in some underground car park and walked around to the tube so that I could catch it further into town, mainly because where I'd parked was outside the congestion charging zone.
Ah, gotcha. Smart.
And you know how you're walking along and it could be a windy day and maybe there's some dust or some sand around and it can be whipped up and blown in your face. Mm-hmm. Well, the wind was so strong it was blowing gravel your face.
Wow. Like, what? Were you talking pea-sized chunks bigger? Yeah,
that sort of thing. Pea-sized chunks of gravel.
Oh,
it was unreal.
That sounds awful. But you, I can see you've still got both eyes.
I know. I was minded of the small piece of dialogue from June when Paul Atreides is listening to the information thing about Arrakis, the planet, and it's talking about the sandstorms that can cut through steel.
Yeah, and rip the flesh from your bones and get rid of your bones as well.
It was like that. It was not scary, but it was very dramatic. It was. I don't think I've ever been in wind where you could genuinely lean into it and
stay upright.
Yes, exactly. So that was that experience.
Quite an adventure for us.
Other than that, I've been getting tooled up in the walking department.
As in nature hikes type?
Yeah, that type of thing. So nice. I've been sort of gathering the right accoutrements and footwear and clothing for it, because I'm intending to do a lot of walking. I'm trying to develop a level of fitness. I can be rather sedentary, especially in the winter months.
Oh, yeah.
And I really need to resolve that issue. So the first stance will be the walking.
Nice one.
Then I'll be revisiting my bicycle, possibly.
Excellent. Let me know when you get on it.
Yes. That's another story I'll come to in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And I may even buy an electric bike, which one of my old friends has been nagging me to do for some time. He's been extolling how wonderful he thinks they are. Several other people have said to me, that's cheating, but they obviously haven't ridden one. You still have to pedal.
Yeah.
All it does is flatten out the hills for you a bit. So, but that might be sometime in coming. So walking first.
Awesome.
And then the bicycle, which I have a collection of bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, because of the lack of space in my garage, they've had to be stored under several tarpaulins in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
And coincidentally, that was the only thing that really blew away in the storm.
Ah.
Big gusts got under the tarpaulins and lifted them away, and I had to sort of go out there and scrambling it.
Did you manage to recover them, or have they just gone?
The bikes didn't go, the tarpaulins. They didn't go, they were pegged down, but it was quite dramatic when you're sort of trying to deal with a large tarpaulin
they
that's flailing around.
They do make an awful noise, don't they?
Look out for this space. I'll report back on my adventures on the South Downs and other places I'm intending to go to.
Well, if you want company, I do like a good walk. And of course, cycling as well.
That is good, because unfortunately, a lot of my peers, my old friends, are of an age, as I am, that they're a slightly infirm, let's say, to be polite, which would prevent them from walking anywhere, or certainly walking any great distance. Mm. And you do need someone to walk with.
Mm, definitely. It can get a bit lonely in your own head.
Yes. And you can talk and look and things like that. So, yes, I'll keep you updated.
Absolutely.
I'm intending to walk with some other people. It also helps to motivate you as well if you're accompanied.
Absolutely. Well, I do early mornings as well, should you want a pre-work one.
I do like a person that's good in the mornings.
Absolutely.
I consider myself to be quite good in the mornings.
Mm. I'm not naturally. It was by necessity.
Okay. So are you, apart from the walking, are you quite responsive and lively? I mean, are you a good morning person? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it only takes me about 20 minutes to be normal and human.
Because some people are quite, what's the right word?
I don't know, but I've certainly got friends that, you know, on a weekend, they will sleep until 1, and it's just strange. And they're a bit of a zombie until about 2. That's weird. I don't know how it works.
Is that an age thing? When I was in my late teens, early 20s, I could certainly sleep for England.
Mm.
I thought that was a kind of developmental thing.
I think so, to a certain extent, but it didn't happen to me. I mean, I'd sleep in till, you know, 9, but not 12 or 1.
That sense of disappointment if you sleep that long, you wake up and realise most of the day's gone, you feel robbed.
Yeah, and you've got to stay awake till quite late, otherwise you'll never get to sleep again.
Certainly. I'm quite an early riser these days. I think that's just a natural thing that occurs as you get older. You need less sleep,
I think.
I don't know if you actually need less sleep, but certainly you're not able to sleep as much, potentially not as much as you would like to. The mechanism, as I like to describe it, for sleep doesn't function as well as it does when you're younger. And obviously, when you're younger, it almost functions too well in your teenage years. But hence, they've discussed letting teenagers come into school later, because
I've seen things like that. Yeah.
I think, isn't that just shifting the problem along?
Yeah.
Anyways, yes, certainly, I will certainly let you know, or we should liaise.
Mm.
So I'm quite keen to find various other parties to walk with.
with. Yeah, I mean, especially it's kind of on my way into the office, so I could just skip all the traffic, go for a quick ramble, and then go into the bunker, which is the office, so I get my daylight in early.
Do you tend to go over the Hog's Back, which mm-hmm. is the big hill yeah. just outside Guildford, to go over, because there must be some reasonable walking in that neck of the woods?
I'm sure there is. I know if you go from Guildford, you can always go up the mount and along, and that kind of joins on to the Hog's Back, I think. There's some good stuff up there.
It's part of it.
Yeah, so that's a good one for good views.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, and I really do need it. I mean, we are getting the sort of essence of spring. I saw quite mm-hmm. a few daffodils just around the corner.
Yeah, I've seen them as well.
So the telltale signs of spring are upon us.
Indeed. What were you going to say about your bikes?
I don't know, I forgot.
Say, was there a development in that direction?
No, it was just they were under the tarpaulin, and the tarpaulin blew away. I mean, yep. I've got a Cannondale, which is really, I don't know.
And Cannondale as well.
It's a really, for the time, it's 20, I got it in 1999, and it was eye-watering expensive then. Yep. It was in 1999, it was a £2,000 Cannondale. It's got a weird, you know, there was a period with mountain bikes when they had really thick frames.
Yeah.
And, you know, these sort of, what's that bit that runs down from the...
The down tube would be headset to bottom bracket where the pedals are.
Yeah.
That's the main sort of bottom one.
Yeah. So the down tube was, I don't know, really I want to say chunky. About 5 inches thick. I mean, it's big, but it's an aluminium frame. Mm. Yeah. So hydraulic disc brakes. You know, it was quite a thing for the time when I got it, but it's seen some miles. It's seen some serious miles. My biggest mistake was we went on a cycling holiday, let's say, to Devon.
Oh, yeah. That's the big hills.
It was just hills. Yep. That's all it was. But at the time, I considered myself to be quite fit and quite capable.
It's brutal if you don't do it a lot.
Yeah, some of those hills I thought I was going to asphyxiate.
Yeah.
You just attack one of those, and then when you get to stop, I just couldn't get my breath. Just awful. You need some flat to cycle on occasionally.
Went to visit an old next-door neighbour in Lyme Regis, and the hills were terrifying. Yes. He's a keen cyclist, so he's obviously got some serious fitness going.
So Lyme Regis, the Jurassic Coast.
Indeed. I do like it down there.
I've been fossil hunting down there on occasions.
I've never fossil hunted, but seen a few.
Well, they've got all the... Lyme Regis especially has got all the fossil shops in it.
They're quite fun to browse.
Well, you can go in there and buy all the rock hammers and the bits and pieces, and then go out and sort of try not to blind yourself by the flying bits
the little
thing
bits of slate
away.
Isn't it lethal?
But there's lots of warnings saying don't pick at the cliffs, and but the resistance is a great big trilobite hanging out the cliff. What you're going to do
Nice one. Well, I have some updates on various things. Let me grab my notes. So, coffee is a thing. Coffee is a theme. Coffee is a thing. Coffee is something I do. And it's been a headache, if I'm honest, recently. The current plan to try and improve the technique and the flavour in the coffee that we're drinking at home is to find a coffee that seems vaguely decent, that we're enjoying, and then get a lot of it, really nail it down, really try and get everything there is to find from that coffee. And so far, everything's just going backwards. I've been making really bad coffee. So I thought, let's try and find some experts. And Origin Coffee, who actually, I think, are based in Cornwall, but they do have a place in London. They do filter coffee workshops. So you can go, borrow their equipment, have infinite coffee, and learn, you know, hone your skills, that kind of thing. But I had to email them, because I'm going to be a bit extra about it, it seems. Because what I want to do is actually, can I take my grinder and my kettle and my... So what I'm probably going to do at some point is troop all the way to London with just an appalling amount of coffee paraphernalia slung across my back and turn up like a massive nerd. It'll be a bit awkward. But I'm looking forward to it, because I'm not pleased with the coffee I'm making these days. So here's hoping I can improve. The next thing that I must tell you, I must preface this segment by saying that a lot of the time I think to myself, I have too many hobbies, there's too many things to spend money on. Well, I've gone and picked up another hobby, haven't I? But it's along the right lines, I think, because it's kind of difficult, mostly a faff, and involves outdated technology. There should be a degree of satisfaction and analogness to it. Can you guess? I already have a record player and like vinyl, so it's not that. It's not musical.
Okay, but it's analog-ish.
Yes.
It is
a creative procedure.
Is it visual?
Yes.
Is it possibly photography but not digital?
Oh, yes, it is. I have sent off my first roll of film to the lab, and I'm awaiting my scans soon. But yes, I picked up quite a while ago, actually. I picked up an SLR, a relatively basic Chappie. It'll make a nice noise. Hooray! What fun! There's no film in it, thankfully. That is an Olympus OM10, which I'm told is very popular with film photography people because it's just easy and there's loads of them. So, well documented for maintenance and easy to find spares-ish. Anyway, I've now finished two rolls of film, black and white, and we'll see. I'll have to update you next week, and we'll see if it's all blurry, out of focus, if it's two blank rolls, or what I've managed to find. But we'll see. My dad is a very keen photographer and has, I think, he had his own dark room until my sister came along and he had to sacrifice the spare bedroom. But I'm going to be leaning on his expertise, I think, a lot. But I've already had a lot of fun and not even seen the results. That's actually something that I think is quite key for this hobby, given that I've made efforts to try and extract myself from the thought process where, ooh, if I had this bit of gear, ooh, if I could do this. I think I've said this before. I really want to learn to enjoy the process. And so far, I haven't seen the result and I've been enjoying myself. So I think it's a good move so far. But I'll let you know when the results are out. I also don't plan to share any of my hobby with the internet because, again, I want to enjoy the process for myself, if you see what I mean.
So developing black and white film is relatively easy.
At home, from what I've seen, yeah. And I'm not exactly planning because I'm trying to escape the mindset of, ooh, I could get the stuff to do that. I just want to play it calm for a while. But I know it should be relatively simple to develop and scan myself at home.
It's so simple. Just a few trays, mm-hmm. a few bottles of chemicals, a red light bulb,
yep.
some water.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think the system that I've seen is instead of trying to sort out a dark room for yourself, which I guess you could just have a nice surface in a bathroom, turn the lights off, and apart from your red one, you can get a sort of a completely light sealed bag and you kind of do it all in there. So you have to do it by feel. But anyway, in the new flat that we may be moving to, there is a spare bathroom. Oh no, now I'm thinking. Oh dear. Shh, don't tempt me.
I mean, there is only one particular piece of equipment you would need would be the projector.
So I think, and I'm hoping my father-ino still has it. He has a little digital film scanner.
Okay.
So dedicated thing. So all I'd need to do is develop the roll.
The negatives.
Yeah.
So no, you're not going to print to paper or develop the paper.
I can only assume it would be quite fun to do so. But for now, I think, assuming he's still got the scanner, I would
That's the most exciting
developing.
Part when you're washing the paper and the picture starts emerging slowly and you sort of, ooh.
Well, I haven't told my dad that I'm doing this because I've never really engaged in his hobby of photography that much. Other than when we go on our family Lake District holidays, I'm always the one that waits for him while the girls go off on ahead, just walking because they're impatient. And then they take the piss out of him for saying, oh, just got to change my ISOs or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's their favourite phrase to throw at him. But yeah, I'm going there, going to the parents' house this weekend. I'm going to surprise him with hopefully some of my first photos, or at the very least, I'll show him the camera and a couple of rolls of film and we'll go take some photos.
I think you're right in the respect that because you're doing the old school film route, you really have to master the art of all the various elements. It's not going to do the work for you like a digital SLR would do for you these days, and so you're going to get a lot more au fait with the whole process of photography, somewhat in the way when people get into modular synths, because it forces you to learn about synthesis.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's very hands-on, very analog.
Quite a parallel you've drawn there.
Yes.
Nice. Nice one. Yeah, I've said it before to people that ask why I got into modular and why I enjoyed it so much back when I had some, apart from the No Coast. And for my musical brain, the answer was because it's kind of annoying and difficult and a faff and the long way round to do things, I feel like my brain needed something to chew on some substantial amount before it could be creative in other ways. Who knows? But yeah, this particular camera, it does have, I've ordered the adapter that will let me control shutter speed and do the full manual, but at the moment it'll be aperture priority, so the light meter will tell you what shutter speed it's going to be doing based on where you're pointing it at. You pick your aperture, you focus, and off you go. But that's all there is to control, isn't it? Just aperture, focus, shutter speed.
Pretty much,
on,
yes.
On a film camera. And then I've got the dial to set what film you're using, or what ISO or ASA or whatever, so it knows what the light meter's doing, and that's kind of it.
I mean, it's pretty much it with a digital camera as well.
Yeah. Except, yeah, on film, you're just stuck with whatever ISO the film is.
And however many shots there's on the roll.
Indeed. I've fallen into one trap so far, which was the take-up spool, I think it's called, not actually grabbing it properly, and got most of the way through a roll and noticed the bit where the sort of winding handle is wasn't spinning. And I thought, I'm going to risk it, open up the back, and yeah, it's still just the leader was there. But then I got to shoot a whole 36 over again, so... Not too bad.
I never really invested. There was an intention at one stage to buy an SLR back in the sort of film days. I've really enjoyed the era of digital cameras, especially now, because it suits my method of photography whereby, I mean, mine is the real point and shoot, take hundreds of pictures and there's going to be some gold in there, just shoot away. It's a bit primitive and I haven't really got into the real essences. I mean, I know which lens to use when or what lens will produce a certain effect. I generally know what I'm going for, but a lot of the times I have to admit that some of my best shots are happy accidents. And it's maybe just by the, I always tell myself it's just by the virtue of the amount of photographs you've actually taken and you're using really nice top-end equipment, you're going to get some good shots. But I suppose that might be downplaying it a bit. I've been doing it for a few years now and I generally get good results when I sort of apply myself.
I've seen the results. There's some great ones.
So, but I just remember the frustration back in the day with little Instamatic cameras and you take all these pictures and you just didn't know what you were going to get back. And you got a lot of those advisory when they've got stickers and it's just a picture of your thumb or something like that. And And I've also done the thing when I've run the film twice through the camera and got some really strange double exposures, different, which was, to be honest, was quite disappointing because it was on a trip to Hong Kong.
Oh,
I had all these weird... So, you know, these things happen. That's the joys of working with essentially a mechanical camera in physical film.
Yeah, it's exciting. I don't really know much, but learning is fun. And that's, I think, what's been engaging for most of my hobbies is learning.
Right, I would like to talk about this.
We got an update on, did we give it a name?
We were sort of thinking about Obsidian, but I don't know. It doesn't sort of fit well. I mean, most of the items that I give nicknames, the moniker comes from something about it. I think that's just too easy to go, well, it's black, let's call it Obsidian.
I think it will earn its name at some point. Some occasion or event will happen, and you think, there it is. Anyway, the nameless case at the moment, updates.
Right. Well, the Queen of Pentacles is heading back my way. In fact, it's not actually my one. A brand new one is heading my way. Endorphins have been very good. In fact, they offered quite early on to say, we'll send you a new one directly to you. Yeah. I've returned the broken one to the retailer, who is going to subsequently return that to the distributor and then on to Endorphins that way.
What a long chain.
Yes, a bit. At the beginning of the outset of my dialogue with tech support, and I was inquiring how long it would take for the repair, and suggested that it wasn't so much the repair time, which they stated they'd like to get the repairs turned around in a couple of days, but it was the logistics of moving it between all the entities. And they said, no problem, we will just send you a brand new one directly to you. And the new module is in the hands of what I can only imagine is the Spanish Postal Service.
Gotcha.
Even with Google Translate, I can't
quite
really
work out where it is.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
But it will be with me, hopefully, within the next week and a half.
Excellent. Nice one. Will it be fairly easy to drop it back in and get going? Or did you have some... Of course, because it's not a sequencer or anything, so you just got to dial up your sounds and wire it back in.
I don't think there'll be too much of a problem. With the wiring, I just uncoupled the cables that were into the Queen of Pentacles itself. Everything remained the same. It's almost... Because I've used Velcro on a lot of the groups of cables. It's a bit like a wiring loom. So
not
I just
bad.
Unplugged the relevant bits and the module should just fit straight back in there and I should be back to practicing.
Easy.
And I've also got something else prepared for the modular CAF, but that will be in a couple of months. It will be ready to go because what you inform me is happening in March.
Yes, indeed.
Won't really work with what I'm going to do, but look out for that one. I'll keep that one under my belt. But just to give you an idea, just to give you a little teaser for something.
Whet the appetite.
It's going to be a cover version.
Ooh, okay, cool. I don't think anybody's attempted a cover at the ModCaf yet. Nice. Okay, cool.
That's all stuff. That's all I'm prepared to say.
Excellent.
And I'm not even going to tell you what piece of equipment it's going to be on either.
Ooh. Very exciting stuff. Well, it looks like we've got yourself and David M. again. I think he requested, he said, ooh, he's got some stuff ready. So that'll be cool. A couple of our performances, and then we'll have to dig up a tech spot for April, because the March ModCaf, I think this was Ian's idea. Was it Ben's idea? I don't know. It is a drone special. So we've said to people, bring something that can drone or infinitely sustain a noise. The plan, Stan, is, well, we don't know how many people will turn up and with how many pieces of gear, but we've said bring little mixers for sub-mixing, if you like, and we'll have one large mixer in the middle, most likely with a master in charge of drone who may mix, arrange, and such for us. For the first hour, it could be incredibly beautiful or one of the most painful things you've ever experienced. But the first hour, we shall attempt harmonious, melodious, and pleasant things. And for the second hour, all bets are off. I don't know how many Lyras are planning to turn up, but there could be chaos. We'll find out. But that's why there are no performances and things. I think we've also said bring something to sit on, because I think we're going for a floor-mounted session, potentially. There we are. That'll be the March one. Yeah, that's it. That's what we got. That's the stuff from this episode. You know how we end these things? Sometimes I say, ooh, did you know we're on Facebook and things and Instagram? But I've done that already, haven't I? So, since you've now visited our social media, of course you have, haven't you, at Rackaddicts UK, it's time for the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. Peter, what have you there?
Right. On occasions, and I don't always do this because some of these YouTube channels are, or should be obvious to many of our listeners, possibly. But on occasions, we will recommend one of the more regular musical commentators, let's say, or
a more established personality.
Yes, someone who might be doing tutorials or product reviews, that type of thing. And one that I land upon occasionally and enjoy is a YouTube channel. I'm assuming that this is the gentleman's name. The channel is called Starsky Car.
Well, it could be Starsky. I don't really know.
Yeah. So Starsky Car.
Car with a double R.
Yes.
Yes.
So Starsky and then Car. Starsky Car.
One of the options.
Anyway, he will either do reviews or talk about vintage equipment. He will do reviews of new equipment, or he'll just do other tutorials on various pieces of equipment. That's actually Alex Ball I'm looking at. even though it's come up. God, I've got Dr. Mix. They all come up, but don't they? Yeah. All the same. Where's Mr. Starsky Car gone? I don't want it to start. I lost my place. Yes, so Starsky Car.
There we go.
There we go. Anyway, plenty of interesting articles, plenty of reviews, plenty to keep the synth enthusiast entertained. New and old equipment, competent presenter, knows what he's talking about. Check it out. So this week, my recommendation is the YouTube channel Starsky Car, or Starsky Car, however you want to pronounce it.
Lovely stuff. I shall be passing on a recommendation this week, since I've not been too on the YouTubes or discovered anything that exciting. I have mentioned I was getting into a bit more of the slightly classical piano-based ambient-type stuff, and Anthony from the ModCaf has been drip-feeding me some Ludovico Einaudi, so a slightly more famous composer compared to the ones that I have listened to and recommended in the past. But there's a really good live show if you want to indulge in over an hour. This is live from the Steve Jobs Theatre in 2019, Einaudi. Strings involved as well as the piano. Really nice stuff, and I'm sure you've heard of him. Anyway, thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to this 112th episode. We'll catch you in the unlucky or lucky one next week. Farewell.